So good morning, everybody. Welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here. It's Sunday morning, just shortly after 9 a.m. in London, and it's the end of May 2021. I'm saying that because many of you are with us live on Facebook and also on the Clubhouse app, but lots of you will be listening at some point in the future on a podcast or on YouTube or on Instagram or somewhere. So I want to say welcome to everyone, whether you're listening in May 2021 with us or maybe some months or years in the future. You are so welcome to be here. And this is the 180 somethingth week of our weekly project, Lizzie, you and me, of beginning our Sunday morning with a source, some piece of text, something that someone has written that we can launch off of into a often deep and inspiring and curious making conversation. So I'm really pleased to be doing this again, Lizzie.
Me too, Justin. I can feel the kind of the landing of it. And I'm really glad to be here and be bringing this source, which, so Justin, you played this song the other day in the retreat that we were in together. So everyone who's listening, we have an annual retreat for the people around the world who do the kind of work that we do. And it was, Justin was doing an incredible leadership role in holding us for the week. And this was a song that he brought by way of saying goodbye to each other and letting the retreat go as we were completing. And as you played it, Justin, I felt my relationship to letting go be brought to the surface and have realized that I don't really think there are many conversations about what this is, to say goodbye, to let go, and to address our kind of grasping. And the way it came up most strongly for me was in the stories that we hold about who we are and our identity, and how these lyrics speak directly into that for me. So I wanted us to read them together and see where it takes us today. But that was the reason I wanted to bring it, was because I could feel all the parts of me that might be unhelpful, but that I'm not very good at letting go of. And practicing into the new requires me to do that. And sometimes I find that really hard. So I wanted to get into it with you and see where it led. Mm. So this is called Set the Tigers Free, and it's a very beautiful song by Villagers. And these are the lyrics to the song that we've put here. And of course, you could go and find the song and have a listen to this beautiful piece of art if you wanted as well. So Set the Tigers Free. Farewell to my only friend. You've been good to me. Now the carnival has ended. Let's set the tigers free. The spring was always early and the winter never came. But since I got this hunger, it just hasn't been the same. I'm leaving for the great wide open plains, leaving while this holy spark remains. I see you've written promises to make me stay, but it really doesn't matter now anyway. I'm leaving. True love feeds on absences like pleasure feeds on pain. So no matter where I'm standing, I still love you all the same. And I hope you feel the same way when it's your turn to disappear. I'll be cheering from the sidelines with a sandwich and a beer. And all at once I step outside into the wind and rain. I let it wash my weary eyes and see you do the same. And all at once I step outside into the wind and rain. I let it wash my weary eyes and see you do the same.
Thank you so much for reading that, Lizzie. So before I read it, it's very hard. I realized just even you reading that already brings up so much emotion in me. So much happens from this. So I'm going to read it as well. I've never read this. I've sung this song many times. And reading the lyrics as a poem without the music is wonderful. I love it. I want to say to anyone who's listening, if you want to hear this song, there are a few different versions of it, but the version I want to recommend comes from an album called Where Have You Been All My Life? And the subtitle of the album is Live at RAK. And it's an absolutely transcendent version of the song. It's the one to head for. So this is Set the Tigers Free. Farewell to my only friend. You've been so good to me. Now the carnival has ended. Let's set the tigers free. The spring was always early and the winter never came. But since I got this hunger, it just hasn't been the same. I'm leaving for the great wide open plains. Leaving whilst this holy spark remains. I see you've written promises to make me stay. But it really doesn't matter now anyway, I'm leaving. True love feeds on absences like pleasure feeds on pain, so no matter where I'm standing, I still love you all the same. And I hope you feel the same way when it's your turn to disappear. I'll be cheering from the sidelines with a sandwich and a beer. And all at once, I step outside into the wind and rain. I let it wash my weary eyes and see you do the same. And all at once, I step outside into the wind and rain. I let it wash my weary eyes and see you do the same.
So somehow, when you just read that, just in the bit that got me was the line, leaving while this holy spark remains. And there's something about the genius of this arrangement of how this is said for me, which is I need a holy spark. I need a something, an inspiration, a suffering even, a something to help me leave something behind. And if that wasn't there, there wouldn't be a reason for me to leave something behind. So something in the process has to be an invitation. Something in our unfolding has to be invitational in order for us to be motivated to leave something behind. And then simultaneously there's the attachment to what exists already, the attachment to the familiar that's really hard to put down in spite of the spark, the holy spark that's inviting me, that's saying there's a greater degree of freedom here if you would let that thing go. So I can see the dance of the kind of the holy spark with the leaving behind and realizing that the holy spark is so necessary. The holy spark might be you. You know, the holy spark might be the promise of a deeper way of living. The holy spark might be a taste of freedom that I had. The holy spark might be a piece of art which shows me something about my life that feels like it's calling to me. And then the work feels like it's a combination of attending to that holy spark, so it becomes more than a spark, and at the same time realizing that there's this familiar world, a habitual set of practices, ways of speaking, ways of asking for what I need or not, all the relationships that I hold that will be imbued with the old way that didn't let the spark be alive in them. And then I have to look at that and say, what is there to let go of? What do I need to release in order that I can move with the holy spark as it guides me forward? And how do I listen to that and let it guide me, let it be my invitation, rather than let it be an experience I once had, for example, where I think, oh, that was nice, but now we're back to normal again. So what does it mean to listen to that holy spark? And if I did listen to that, what would I have to let go of and what would I have to release beneath me, around me, so that I could take up this Holy Spark's invitation.
I'm really with you that line, as is so often the case, Lizzie, that I think sometimes what we find that the place that really draws us, it's right in the middle. It's like the middle, sandwiched right here in the middle between what comes before and what comes after.
Yeah.
That moves me greatly. And I think one of the reasons it moves me, or the lots, one is I'm leaving for the great wide open plains. I'm leaving while this holy spark remains. I see you've written promises to make me stay. And I, when I come across those lines, when I hear them or sing them or read them, I realize how often I've tried to hold on to something way, way, way beyond the time that I should be holding on to it. And instead of seeing that there is a call, something really alive, calling into something, into what's next, which is what I, for me, the Holy Spark is here. Whilst there's something still alive calling me, beckoning me on, it's time often to let go of something that I've been holding on to very tightly. And I can feel when I read this, gosh, all the times I haven't done this, all the times I've sort of squeezed the life out of something by staying in something that had long since died, that it was time to be left behind, like some work that I'm doing, or a project that I'm up to, or a role that I'm in, or a friendship that has run its course. That's a big, big one for me, holding on to friendships that have ended, really. But I'm clinging, 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 or a story about myself. Yes, or a story about myself. That's a common one. And this act, this very tender and painful act of trying to make deals to have something stay, like trying to make promises that take us away from what's really alive in order to avoid having to let go of something that we're frightened of letting go of. I know that feeling so much. And what these lyrics offer that I also could hear in what you were saying is that very often there's something exquisitely alive waiting on the other side of letting go of what we've been holding on to. We feel like if we let go of what we're holding on to, something will die and we'll be finished. And that something will die, of course, is true when we let go. At least we might actually be giving new life to something else by letting go of it, a person or a project or a, you know, an organization we founded or an idea I came up with that I'm holding on to very tightly. Actually, it's true that when I've held on too tightly to something, letting go of it often gives it life as well. The thing that I'm letting go of is given life. And I'm often given life, but it feels like death. And that's a terribly painful place to be in. It's a really hard place to be in. But boy, actually, Liz, you know, the things that I've squeezed life out of because I've tried to hold on to them, that were much better. They were much better without me because I was done. It was my part in this was done. That's really coming to me as we're speaking.
Gosh, I feel so many avenues opening up. I feel like I want to gather some people and study myself through this together for an extended period of time. Like, this feels like a really big thing. And I'm thinking of an example from my life, just as you've been listing for yourself there. And I can feel one part, which is in order to be some of the things I want to be, I really had to let go of being liked. And that one is such a big thing, like to be in favor in a conversation, for people to agree, for people to say, oh yeah, feels like a, such a comfortable place to be. And there are things that I believe and live these days which are very different to the cultural norm. And so being liked and being approved of has had to go out the window, and that's really hard. And the line that relates to this for me is that, you know, you've written promises to make me stay. There are so many promises. Promises of getting on with people, promises of being approved of, promises of being liked, that are made as I'm following the spark. And they feel so related to my survival. And so it feels really risky to follow the spark when what I'm letting go of is being liked or being approved of. And that's such a big attachment. And so then to truly stand in a place of letting it be true that being liked isn't the be all and end all, and that I can live beyond that, that I can live in a place that's more real than that, that's got value in spite of, like deep value in spite of maybe not being liked or approved of or agreed with. I think that's a big thing that comes up for me in the conversation, is that I do have to let go of that if I really truly want to live the thing that is calling me, the life that's beckoning. I have to turn my back on the things that I've really valued, and that takes work and it's painful, and I have to go through the experience of not being, not going with the flow of the cultural wave that we're in. And I think that's a really hard thing to do. I experience it hard anyway. And the other bit that comes, which we always get to, it seems, Justin, here, is also, who can I be that allows people to be letting go? And how can I be a person that sees the spark that's calling to them, so that I can not be a person who tries to have them feel like they need to be liked by me, but that I can be in the conversation with others as I wish people to be in the conversation with me about what the spark is calling them to, as I have been called. And then we can all be in a different kind of conversation.
Yeah. You know, when you were talking about the times that you've found yourself stepping outside the norm in some way, there is actually a great line in this lyric: all at once I step outside into the wind and rain.
Yeah.
And I let it wash my weary eyes. But that's, you know, that's what this, I think this is what we're talking about here, is a dynamic that's inherently human. So one dynamic is to keep ourselves the same, to stay inside what's familiar in us and around us. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is really necessary. But there are also those times when we get this hunger that's also in the lyrics, when we start to see that something else is beckoning, and that's going to require a thing that you're talking about. It's going to require a huge amount of letting go of our attachment to what's familiar in ourselves and between ourselves, and to step into what seems like the wind and rain, but to find that we can be washed by it and enlivened by it. So that, I'm really glad that we're talking about, this is a dynamic that we've talked about so many times in Turning Towards Life. And I think it is really what Turning Towards Life is, mm-hmm. is when in those moments is to find ourselves where we can, stepping into our lives. Very often the culture that we're, you talked about stepping out of the norm, but very often the culture that we're stepping out of the norm is our own culture. It's the culture I've, my own narratives about my life are a kind of culture as well. Of course, they're shared with other people, but they call on us to be countercultural in our own lives. But actually, as you, whilst you were talking about, I was thinking about also about this question about how do we be this for others. And I was feeling very touched by, I have a very, very dear friend who I love deeply and greatly, who I met about 15 years ago, who about 6 or 7 years ago sent me a message, and she said, I've got this new way of seeing what my life is about. And lots of things are changing. And she lives far away from me anyway, but she moved from one place to another, and she found herself in a community of people, and she carried some relationships with her, and she left some behind. And my friendship with her is one of the ones that got left behind. Mm-hmm. And I care about her deeply, but I can feel so many of the ways in which I tried for a really long time to go, no, 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 please stay in contact with me. Please stay in relationship with me. Please be the way you matter to me. Please be the way that you have been. And the truth is, she really does matter to me. But actually, being in this conversation and reading these lyrics is making me realize that it's so painful to do. But if I listen to the song as her singing, if she could sing this song to me, if she could say this, which I think is what she has been saying, I would want to say, I'm cheering from the sidelines with a sandwich and a beer.
Yeah.
And let her go. And it's so hard to do, because I so want her to be in my life, which means also wanting her to be the ways, what it would take for her to continue to be in my life would mean staying in some ways in the way that she's been. And in a way, that's one of the reasons why I think why this song brings me so close to tears every time, because there's so much when it's us, when it's me who's leaving, it's tender and painful and alive. And when it's someone or something else that's leaving, it's also tender and painful and alive. And there's no getting around it being that way. I feel so glad for her that she has a life that is so rich and full and meaningful for her, and I feel heartbroken that she's not in my life. But it also seems to me it's a great act of care to be the one who says, I see you step outside into the wind and rain.
There's so many, feels like there's so many sides one can be on in amongst this letting go-ness. And as you were speaking, Justin, I was thinking, I wonder what tigers got set free by your friend doing what she did. And what kind of, the image for me anyway, when we set the tigers free, is like, it's a bit disorganized, which of course it is. You know, when we're emerging out into the wind and the rain, we don't know what the world is really. We've just got a spark, got an inkling of like, I need to do something. Something's calling to me. Something's on the change. Something's on the horizon that I don't know what it is, but I have to be faithful to it. Like I don't have a choice feeling. It's not a predictable world. It's not a certainty. It's like faithfully following a whisper when it seems really unsensible to the cultural normal narrative of security and safety and battening down the hatches and making sure we're ready for a disaster, you know, whatever the kind of background safety makingness in all of us is. And so it does feel like setting the tigers free, which if I imagine setting tigers free, I mean, I don't know, tigers will just probably run around and do whatever they want to do and eat things and whatever. It's not a predictable thing. And yet it's completely natural that tigers would be free. And tigers are wild. And the wildness has its own rhythm. And the wildness is real and true to itself. And so when I think about all of our tigers being set free and what that might look like, it takes each of us to have a new kind of relationship to wildness and uncertainty and freedom, and becoming interested in freedom, interested in wildness, interested in the course of nature and how it would flow, which is a really big departure from every day, the way that we've all come to be. And I'm feeling both the kind of exhilaration of that in this conversation of wandering, and all these images coming to my mind of tigers being set free. And at the same time, I can see the disorientation of it and the need for assistance and someone holding my hand and saying, "It's okay, look, the tigers are free and it's fine," because that's what's supposed to happen. But that all of these promises to make me stay are going to be right there on the threshold, saying, no, look at the tigers. They're wild. They're going to eat everything and then they're going to smash everything up and then there's going to be nothing left." And so I feel like I'm feeling so strongly the place of community and relationship and holding inside this dynamic of letting go, so that there are people on both sides of the threshold that we're in relationship with. And there are the promises that try and make me stay that might be helpful for a while as well. That not to kind of feel like we have to throw it all away for the tigers to be free, but that we can straddle the worlds and still be faithful to the spark whilst holding our own in the middle of the transition, in the middle of that threshold, and being kind to ourselves and getting support for the threshold and being together in the inquiry of the threshold and gentling ourselves through into the wildness while still remaining wholeheartedly committed to the call, to the pull of the spark, and gentling ourselves to wildness feels really, really appropriate to me in this space.
Gosh, that is such an amazing way of talking about this, Lizzie. I'm enormously touched and grateful by your pointing into that setting the tigers free is always going to be wild and messy and unpredictable. And I could feel, if I feel about all my own leavings behind, my lettings go of stories about myself or relationships that have ended or projects that I've got too big a hand in or whatever. I can see that I very often set a secret demand of myself that this should all be ordered, skillful, clear, not at all messy, and because of that demand, that can make the letting go harder to do, but it can also mean that when I do let go, leave something or someone or whatever it is, my demand of myself that this be handled in a way that was predictable and clear and ordered and all of those kind of things. It's also a route to great suffering because it's never going to be like that. And I'm particularly feeling this talking with you about my friend who I was talking about before. And I'm finding it through this conversation actually that it's been some years since she set the tigers free. And there's been a part of me that has been. Of course, I talked with you about the parts that wanted to hold on and say, no, don't be that way because I want you the way, I really care about her. So I do want her to set the tigers free. But there's also all these big parts of me that want to hold on. But there's also the parts of me that demand that I understand what's going on, that there are clear signals, and that at some point someone's going to say, this friendship is done for now or done. Let's not stay in contact with one another. But like, I want all of that clarity. And it's so helpful to see that it's an ordinary part for any of us as we let go and step into what's coming, and for any of us who are around those who do it, that it's really ordinary for it to be wild and ragged and unpredictable, like a bunch of tigers running around would be, and to give up on our demands that it's even comprehensible. Because that's one of the things I'm really appreciating about this song that it's called, and it begins with setting tigers free, not setting all the different things you might set free. If you set tigers free, I think you can be sure that you're not going to have a clue what's going on for a while, because they're not going to behave in any way that's knowable. And it might be pretty frightening, actually, to have tigers running around. And I think that that's part of the suffering and the difficulty that we get into. It's not only our fear of letting go, it's our demands that when we do let go, that it's going to go a very particular way, and somehow we're going to feel, we and everyone around us is going to feel in control. So can we be for ourselves, and perhaps more importantly, along this line that you've been talking about community, what does it take to be for others? The ones who we can be joyfully, welcomingly, caringly, and non-graspingly part of their letting go, of their leaving, of their saying goodbye. What it takes to do that and give up, to work with our sense of shame and confusion that we're not good at this, because we're never going to be good at this one, because it's going to be different. Whatever this one is, it's going to be different from every other one of these that's ever happened before.
Yeah. What's rising really strongly for me, Justin, is all of the times I've tried to protect people from the tigers. Mm. And it's just not appropriate. You know, I'm just seeing in this moment how clearly the people who actually support the tigers being set free, how moving they are to me in this moment, that they have been that way. And of course, I'm that sometimes for people too. And I know that that part of me is an invitation to life. And I also know the part of me that wants to protect people from the tigers that I can see are waking up in them to be set free. And I really want to learn more about myself in that way, so that I can make sure that I'm onto myself when I'm doing it. And this conversation is so helpful to pave the way for my stopping doing something. So for my letting go of that protective part that does this thing. I mean, it might sometimes be great for protection, it's obviously necessary sometimes, but I can see the distinction between when I'm protecting in service of holding life back versus protecting for, you know, very good reasons. And those sometimes get confused. And so that looking at humans as if I was to go around asking the question of which tigers, how are the tigers wanting to be set free in this person? That's a very different thing than what a lot of other questions I might be asking about the person sitting in front of me. And what would it be to relate to other humans like that? Wondering what the tigers are that are trying to be set free, and then letting those tigers, in my relationship with that person, letting those tigers be set free as they are intending, given the holy spark that they are in service to and that they're following. This is very beautiful, Justin. I'm so glad that you played the song, and so glad that we read it as a poem, and so glad of the theme that it's bringing. And I honestly would love to do something on this, like something bigger, because it's so, there seems to be so much here. So I'm just looking at the time and realizing this is probably our time to end. And I want to say I'm so grateful for this. This feels like a holy spark of a conversation to me. And I'm really grateful for that, and invited and wondering. And that's how I'm ending this conversation, is in a very mysteriously wondering space. So thank you.
Yeah, me too, Lizzie. Thank you. So we'll be back, all being well, next week. And thank you, everyone, for being with us in whichever place you're with us, whether you're live or listening to this, watching this later. You're so glad to stay with us and to bring people you love and care about into this conversation as well.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
See you.